How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
The changing of seasons can affect how you feel. One in five people experience some form of depression, no matter the time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. Visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. It's Saturday. The Longhorns just won. The 49ers get to play the Seahawks tomorrow. What more do we want out of life? And I know the 49er Longhorn overlap is like the smallest piece of pie ever. But let me have my thing, man. Now, I will say this. Today's show is going to be extra good because the Longhorns beat Arkansas. I love it. Hook them. But if they would have lost, it would have been bad. But we got to deal with that. That's all right. This is episode 1261 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. And this is our flagship program of the week, man. We got 11 pages of notes. So pumped. Shout out to my man, Josh. He is the executive producer that helps write all of these shows that we do on the previews and all that stuff. Our executive producers for the entirety of the 49ers Rush Podcast, Corey Robbins, 49ers George 365, Kilted Niner David G. Y'all are the best of the best. So what do we do today? We break down everything there is to know about the Seattle Seahawks, the matchups, the schemes, the tendencies, where the advantages, disadvantages are, best matchups on both sides of the ball, what that looks like. We go over bets. We go over predictions. You name it, we cover it. And so I'm so pumped to be here with everybody. And, of course, your job in the chat, as always, you got to throw me off. You got to throw me off task, hopefully, about the 49ers. But let's keep this conversation going because this is your show, and I want to make sure we address everything that you want covered. Shout out to my man RTP and all of the hashtag CCs. Bobo, he says, hashtag CC must win the rest of the NFC games. You got to start with the division, right? So you got three games in the division. Those are must wins. Those are the most important. That only gets you to 8 wins, right? You're at 5. That gets you to 8-4. You look at the rest of the NFC games. You've got Packers. You've got Bears. You've got Lions. That gets you to 11. I doubt you get a clean 6-0 sweep. That would be ideal. And again, the rule is, now we're in a relatively new time period with the NFL and this 17-game schedule. The rule always was get to 10 games and you're in. Yeah, there's a few outliers where you got to 10 wins and you were out of the race. But now with that seventh spot, 10 wins should get you in. 11 wins completely gets you in, unless your name's Matt Castle. 12 wins, you're hosting a playoff game, almost guaranteed. So that's kind of where it is. Now, as soon as the schedule came out, I predicted to 12-5. We're at 5-4. So we would have to go 7-1 to hit my prediction. I don't think that this is a 7-1 team down the stretch personally, but this game here, the Seattle Seahawks, it matters. It matters, and it is a must win. Here we go. 49ers faithful forever. That is Josh. For everybody that doesn't know, he is the man. Appreciate all you guys. You are the best. Kevin, who won our trivia last week, sure is on the way, my friend. And for the salute to service, we have a winner. I don't have that page notes up. I already emailed that person, so nobody got close. I think the closest guess was like 4 or 5 snaps off on CMC, but we're getting that taken care of. Appreciate you guys. What's up, Daniel? Tommy, the man, hashtag CC in the house. I love it. Val, hello. Watching college football right now. I love Saturdays, man. But we got too much Niners to talk about. So I get it. You got your college football game on. You mute that. You listen here. You interact here. That's what's up. If you want to catch this game later, whether on Spotify or on iTunes or wherever, YouTube, I don't care. That's what's up. What's up? It's over. He says, John, thinking about moving the family to Texas. Is Waco a place to live with my family? Some people say yes. I'm not a Waco fan, but it's got some charms. Super cheap. Middle of Texas. You can go to lots of good places. Good food. The river there is awesome, but I'm not a Waco guy. I'm a city guy. I'm a weirdo, but no, it's a beautiful place. And some of my closest friends live there. Josh, with DK returning and no Ward this week, do we have a shadow for him at all? No, I don't expect a shadow. If you did shadow, it would probably be Renardo Green, because Demo is going to be in the slot all the time. And the Seattle Seahawks, their offense is 11 personnel. So we're going to be in nickel predominantly, because they always have to have those three wide receivers, DK, Tyler Lockett, Jaxon Smith, and Jigba. I don't think you shadow. I really, really don't. I think you leave Yotam, and I think that you leave Renardo where they are. But if you did shadow, Renardo would stick with him. The physicality is there, and I think that he could do that. That's where that at. Well, Kevin, my man, that's what's up. Tommy says, listening, John, I'm writing the menus for work. I love it, man. I know you're shredding some guitar as we speak. That's just the way that it goes. I love it. And right here, when I think Waco, I think David Koresh. A lot of us do. The funny thing is, you're from Southern California. But I remember that whole ordeal way more than I would like to. So let's talk some Seattle Seahawks. Man, you remember they were kind of red hot. They're 4-5 now. They're in dead last of the NFC West. This is the second meeting that we've had with them. We beat them in week 6, but they're coming off their bye week. This is the stretch where the 49ers play 4 out of 6 teams, all coming off their bye week. Thank you, NFL. You absolutely sabotaged the hell out of us, but that's okay. It's where it is. Now, Seattle, they've lost 2 in a row. Very similar. You know, the Bucs lost 3 in a row before us, and then we beat them. But, man, you look at Seattle has lost 5 of their last 6 games. A lot of that's just Geno Smith being Geno. Teammates fighting on the sidelines. We've got teammates fighting on our sidelines, too. But, man, they have not beat the 49ers in their last 6 games. They're 0-6 versus the 49ers. Niners is a one-sided affair. Since Russell Wilson, the little troll, left, Geno is not good versus this scheme. They abandoned the run quickly in almost every game. They're 29th in rush attempts. You don't win games that way. You don't win, especially, like, it'd be different if you had like a top 5 or a top 10 quarterback that was a playmaker. You don't. You have Geno Smith, who leads the NFL in interceptions instead. Has been sacked 28 times. You got a bad offensive line. Got worse this week. Their center retired on a Wednesday. What? It might have been Thursday. Like, who quits in the middle of the season, in the middle of the week? Like, dude just said no, and I hope everything's okay health-wise. You know, you never know what's going on off the field. And Connor McGovern, I hope everything's good, man. And we wish no ill will. But it's kind of a testament, like, you're firing your starting center. You trade away a starting center. Your starting linebacker, you just cut. And then you trade away your other starting linebacker. And then your center retires. It's just weird, man. And I get the change. You know, Pete Carroll was there forever. But now it's just like, whoa, this is kind of weird. Vince, I love it. He says, that center did not want none of this. None. Val, will Nick Bosa play Sunday? Yes, he will. He played through the same injury last week and even practiced fully yesterday. So he's questionable, but Nick Bosa is going to play. We're going to touch on both teams' injury reports, who's in, who's out, what we know. But again, this is being recorded Saturday on the 16th. It's 12:31 p.m. Pacific time. So if new information comes out, that's when we're going over this. So if we look at kind of the playmakers and who Seattle has, because they've got a talented roster. It's just not a solid roster for the scheme they're trying to implement on both sides. Jaxon Smith and Jigba, you could argue, might be the best slot wide receiver not named CeeDee Lamb in the NFL. He 92.5 PFF grade. Geno Smith is good, but is he a top 15 quarterback? Not really. You surround him with an elite offensive line, elite weapons, he'll keep you in a lot of games, but he's not good. Like, I get it. He's a placeholder. And I hope that he stays in Seattle forever. I hope they give him a new deal, and I hope he stays there because he has his worst football is against the 49ers every single year. It's just the antithesis to what he does. He wants to check the ball down. He wants to just throw layups with a couple deep passes over the top. That's it. But that's what our defense wants him to do. Not good. Charles Crosser, left tackle, good. Defensive players. Traded for Ernest Jones. He was with the Rams for a long time. He was their defensive captain. He was the guy that Aaron Donald said, it's your team now, when Aaron Donald retired. But then the Rams, he starts fighting with the coaches over playing time and what's going on. They trade him away for pennies. Sean McVay gets pissed, but then he gets traded into the division. He's a good linebacker. He is a good linebacker. Boye Mafe, speed rusher off the edge. Devin Witherspoon, unbelievable. Might be the best slot corner in the NFL. He's very, very, very good. So they've got studs, but they've got a lot of really big issues. Their right guard, Anthony Bradford, not good. Their center, just retired. You're putting in, you know, a second-year player there. We'll talk more about him in a while. Tariq Woolen, one of the softest corners in the NFL, got benched against us last year. He's got a 36.6 PFF grade, a 24.3 tackling grade. Guess who he's going to be playing against all week? Juwan Jennings, the most physical wide receiver in the NFL. How's that going to work out? I don't know. Now, they do have two stud defensive tackles, really three. Like Leonard Williams, unbelievable. Byron Murphy, hook him. One of my favorite players in this draft that just came out. Like, he didn't play against us in week six. He's back. Jonathan Hankins still got a lot to play. Like, they've got studs. It's just not solid, and it hasn't meshed yet. Now, the most basic principle, you score more points than the other team, you win. So if you look at Seattle that way, they scored the 17th amount of points, right at average. They've allowed the 19th amount of points, slightly below average. Not where you want to be. And yeah, they started out 3-0. They beat Denver, New England, and Miami. Then they lost five of their next six. They've struggled. Losses to the Lions. They lost to the Giants. They lost to Buffalo, and they lost to the Rams. Then their bye week. Now they got us. So we'll see. Now, sticking with that same metric, a point scored, the 49ers. 49ers have scored the ninth most points above average. They've given up the 11th amount of points above average. That's how you win games. And, you know, I understand we're 5-4, but man, so many of those games were given away. The game against Arizona, the game against the Rams. Those two should obviously be switched. You switch those two games. Yeah, you're 7-2? You'd be 7-2. Like, that's a very easy thing to do. But flip side, you say, well, what about Tampa Bay? That's fair. You are what your schedule says you are. And so that's where it is. So let's look at the Pro Football Focus rankings of each unit to compare an analytical snapshot of the offense, defense, special teams overall group. Let's start with the Seattle Seahawks. Offense, they're 11th, okay? They are throwing high, like, they have studs on offense. Defense, 24th. It's not there yet. Special teams, 3rd. Good Lord. Yeah, they're great. Overall, 12th. Not a bad team. Right around 500. 49ers PFF rankings. Offense, 3rd. Defense, 5th. Special teams, 23rd. Golly. You know, I recorded my special teams breakdown, my special teams film, before the Texas game this morning. That's up on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon. It was so bad. The coaching, like, it's weird because we all watch the 49ers special teams and we're like, yeah, this is the worst in the NFL. It's worse on tape. Like, usually you always say, like, oh, it's not as bad or as good as you think it is. No, it's worse. We are not coaching players at all on special teams. Like, they're just not coached. Like, for example, the fumble that was called by Darrell Luter Jr. And I've said this in the past 3 weeks. He has no clue to get away from the punter. And you see the three punts before the fumble? He's right in the grill of the punter continuously. That wasn't a penalty, by the way. Was not a penalty. We just never coached him. So, like, you see Darrell Luter almost run into the punter? He's fine. goes to the sideline, doesn't get coached up. Next punt, does the same thing. He's fine, goes to the sideline, doesn't get coached up. And also, this is the same reason why there was a turnover in the Super Bowl as well. No coaching up, none whatsoever. But if there is any silver lining, after the fumble, this time, the very next punt, he tried to get away from the ball a little bit. Still almost hit him. But at least it's the first time I've ever seen him have the effort or try to not get close to the punter. Like, we literally are not coaching our players on special teams. Like, I truly do believe we're not coaching them. I know Brian Snyder has a job and he is employed and he's a human person. But, like, I'm not joking. This is so rudimentary. It's elemental. Like, it's basic level football. Don't let your cornerbacks get close to the returner. But we don't coach that. We literally do not coach that. I have no clue. I have no clue how Brian Snyder is still employed. None. And I hate to say this. Special teams not going to improve. We're still releasing blockers or rushers on the inside on punt. We're not getting to our lanes on punt coverage. Our gunners are the worst in the NFL. Our cover corners. Isaac Yadam's pretty good. But like the other side, it doesn't matter who's over there. Renardo Green's not good at it. Darrell Luters Jr. And he's not even playing this game. So you put Rocky Sin over there. Like, it's just bad, 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 bad. You look at kickoff coverage, worst coach in the NFL. You look at kickoff return, very, very bad. Like, we're not coaching these guys. Like, literally not being coached. And I know there's special teams period. And I've witnessed special teams period at 49ers practice. We're not coaching them. We're not correcting them. You're coaching it or letting it happen? Well, it's the latter, because we're not coaching jack squat. We are letting it happen. And I hate that Shanahan just completely whiffs on this. I wouldn't plan on going on special teams rant, but just finished the tape this morning. It's the worst tape. It is the worst tape, and it's getting worse. It's not getting better. It's not staying the same. It's getting worse. We're just letting players do whatever the hell they want consistently. So the special teams group, we're ranked 23rd on PFF. I have no clue how a team could be ranked worse than us. None. None. Overall, we're fourth. So definitely an advantage there on everything besides special teams. Trey, my man, appreciate the super chat. Says, love you, man. You think we win this week? Or do you think we win the West? Yes, I do. In fact, you know, I'm going to go over my bets later in the show. One of my bets is the 49ers to win the NFC West. It's still plus money. Yes, I continue to bet. When Christian McCaffrey came back, it was like, all right, let's just see. Christian McCaffrey was Christian McCaffrey. The run game was stifled, but the Bucs sold out to stop it. But how would he respond? Is he going to need time? Is he going to be injured? Is he going to be able to practice? Seemed fine. He was at practice every day this week. That alone is enough for me. And that, it's weird that one player can make that big of a difference. But the fact that Juwan Jennings is back and balling out, Debo's back, balling out, Feliciano's back, you got Ytir Gross-Matos back, like Drake Greenlaw's practicing, like this, it's trending forward, Trey. He says, also, I follow you on Twitter at GameTime for my sanity. Yeah. If you don't follow me on Twitter, that's okay. Probably props to you at JL underscore Chapman. I will be at the game tomorrow. And yeah, I do tweet a lot during the game, and it's a little bit more, how do I say this, raw than what you get on the podcast. A little more calm, cool, collected here. At the game, I'm a fan. I'm tailgating. I'm enjoying beverages. I'm talking trash to fans, and I'm tweeting. So I'm not saying don't hold me responsible for my tweets during the game, but they're a little bit more wild. But I do, Trey, one, appreciate your super chat and your generosity. But yeah, I do think the 49ers are going to win the West, and I keep rebetting and redoubling down. It's plus money. It is plus money right now on mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers. Boom. But I'll share a couple other bets later on. Let's see here. Let's get to a couple questions maybe that I missed. Let's see here. Yeah, we got a lot of Waco freaking chat. I love it. JD, my man, he says, John, I'm camping in the mountains and can't stay, but I'll come back and rewatch later. Dude, that's what's up, man. Have a good time. Have a good time. I love it. Nick Bosa is a true 50-50. I think that he plays, but man, if you watched our breakdown, Nick Bosa had his worst game of his career last week. I understand he got a sack. Tristan Wirfs, took Nick Bosa to the woodshed, snap after snap after snap after snap. And even after Tristan Wirfs left in the first half, Bosa still wasn't very good. Missed tackles aplenty, but Bosa, even if he's not at 100%, you still want him out there. So we got to get. What's up, Shane? Arizona Empire. We're working on some Arizona stuff behind the scenes right now, man. Today, working some stuff and try to figure out what all we could do to help you guys have a great party. I freaking love it. And so, shoot, why not? Let's talk about this. Let's do this. I built it later in the show. 49ers rush road trip, baby. We've got Buffalo week 13, which is 2 weeks away, and then Arizona, which is going to be absolutely bonkers. That's turning out to be the game of the year. Talking about the NFC West, that week 18 game. Now, could be flexed to a Saturday game, could be a Sunday night game. It's going to be the game of the year. So if you are planning on going to games, man, if you're in the Northeast, you got to come say what's up to us in Buffalo. We're going to be out at the Rec Room the day before. So Saturday, November 30th, man, we're 2 weeks away, literally, from 2 to 8 p.m. at the Rec Room in Buffalo. Going to be absolutely bonkers the day before. I freaking love it. So many Canadians have reached out. So many New Englanders have reached out. I'm so freaking pumped to be up there. I've never been to Buffalo, so want to see that stadium. And then our tailgate. What's Buffalo known for, right? It's tailgating, baby. We're going to be out there, unlimited drinks, unlimited food. One block northwest of the stadium, we're going to be at 3880 Abbott. Gosh, it's going to be awesome. I cannot wait. Go get your tickets. 49ers Rush Road Trip. And if you've never been to one of our trips, what are you doing? This is what they're like.
Going to 49ers games is awesome. But what's even better than that is going to 49ers games with the faithful, joining the community. And we got you covered. The 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its fourth year of bringing... Thank you, No, the Casio G-Shock. Thanks to its legendary toughness and timekeeping autonomy, it's no secret why the mighty G-Shock has earned its place on the wrist of weekend warriors, first responders, and militaries all over the world. But there's levels to this stuff. And there's a little-known collection of top-shelf G-Shock watches made for folks who crave the very best for everything in life. It's called the MRG. This flagship line of G-Shock watches takes the most cutting edge of tech G-Shock has to offer and blends it with the highest levels of traditional Japanese craftsmanship. We're talking about hybrid titanium and Kobarian case construction with artisanal armor-like flourishes, all honed like the edges of a samurai sword. Every beloved reference in the G-Shock collection gets coveted MRG treatment. From the original square case digital reference from 1983 to the beloved analog Frogman dive watch, all the way up to the newest fan favorite, the MRG B2100, with its octagonal bezel and its wild interlocking beams dial. Discover the full range this holiday season at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in 49ers Rush to receive a special gift with your next G-Shock order.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
And the faithful together, night before parties, tailgates the day of, we got you covered. Go get your tickets at 49ersrushroadtrip.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The changing of seasons can affect how you feel. One in five people experience some form of depression, no matter the time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. Visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
All right. Let's get back to it. Now, the last time we played Seattle was week six. And we went into deep detail on their entire coaching staff and kind of all the different things that were going on. So I don't want to completely rehash the Mike McDonald new head coach, like, biography, but a couple things. First year head coach, he was the defensive coordinator for the Ravens. You remember that Christmas game where they kicked our butts? He was brought in to be the Shanahan stopper. Didn't really work week one. Hasn't really worked their defense. And I think that's why they're kind of flustered with firing linebackers and cutting players. And he's trying to establish a culture there, which is really difficult to do whenever Pete Carroll's still in the building and you're taking over for a legend. I would argue probably the best or second best coach. Yeah, I think he's the best coach in Seattle's history. Holmgren, I guess you could put up there. Some of the old hats, I don't really know who they are, but nah, like, again, the history of the Seattle Seahawks, and I'm not trying to be rude, but I talked about this last time. Like, it's shallow. It's not rich. There's no depth to it. Again, Matt Hasselbeck is on their Ring of Honor, or whatever the hell they call it. Like, that's not good. That is not, yeah, Steve Largent's unbelievable. Their throwbacks are great. Walter Jones, great. Like, there's lots of just studs. Steve Hutchins, like, they've got studs all over the place. But we are the 49ers. Like, come on, man. Like, you look at our two best quarterbacks, Joe Montana, Steve Young, and it's like, whoa. You get to the third quarterback, and you're having some insane debates on great people. We do this in the offseason. Look at our coaching staff. Are you freaking kidding me? We have elite coaches peppered throughout our history. It's just different. It really, really is. They are a great value version franchise of the NFL. It's just what it is. And so to replace their best, he's not doing too great. Their offensive coordinator, Ryan Grubb, I really, really like. It's just not working. It's just, yeah, you're throwing the ball like crazy, but that's not, you can do that in college. You can do that in the Pac-10. Pac-12 after dark, baby. But you can't do that in the NFL. We want you to do that. The 49ers literally want you to turn into a pass-heavy team. What did Geno Smith have last time we played him? 52 pass attempts? Yeah. Shocker they didn't win. Shocker. it's not good. And then their defensive coordinator, Aiden Durday, which sounds awesome. Sounds like he's a member of the Fight Club or something. He's from England. Love, you know, he was an NFL world coach. Like, you remember those? Oh, freaking love it. Back in the Hamburg Sea Devils, baby. The London Warriors. Like, I love all three of these main pieces for the Seattle Seahawks. Their career trajectory and what they've accomplished. Like, we got Nepo babies out the wazoo for the 49ers. They've got these literally blue-collar, earn-their-way-up coaches, but it's just not working. It's just not working yet. Coming off a bye week, there's got to be some adjustments, defensively and offensively. They've got to commit to the run. Haven't done it once this year. And they've got to stop the run. But Mike McDonald is just like, well, my scheme will stop the run. Well, it hasn't. We rushed for 255 yards against you last time, buddy. So if you're going to stay the same way, Niners are going to dominate this game. But I think there's going to be some adjustments. At least I hope so. It's going to be a better game. I would not mind at all if they don't make adjustments and we just run the ball. But if they did, well, the 49ers are used to that. Look what the Bucs did. Their defensive coordinator's not on that level yet. So, Trey, back with the super chat, man. Appreciate you. He says, did the Commanders' loss help us? I had a couple people ask me, like, who are we rooting for? The Eagles, Commanders? Like, what do we want to happen as a Niners fan? Well, one, when the Eagles lose, we all win. But the question is this. Yes and, right? If you want the 49ers to be the one seed, if that's your goal, then you wanted the Commanders to win. If you want the 49ers to have better playoff chances to get in, then you wanted the Commanders to lose. So if you think the 49ers could be the one or two seed, then you wanted the Commanders to win. If you want the 49ers to win their division and, you know, just have increase their odds and percentages to make the playoffs, the Commanders losing benefits the 49ers into getting into the playoffs. So, like, it's yes, but kind of You know, that's kind of what it is. It increased the chances the 49ers get into the playoffs, but made it a little bit harder to get that number one or two seed, which the number two seed doesn't matter near as much anymore because only the one seed gets the bye. But it did make the one seed harder as well, because now you've got to hope Philly collapses like they have each of the last 2 years, and you've got to Detroit have a couple hangups, and we got to basically win out for the one seed. I don't think that's what it's going to look like. Oh, my man, Nick, so glad to see you in the chat, man. I miss you, Bo. He says, don't stand too close to a table at the Bills tailgate. I am too big a man. I am too old a man. There will be no table busting taking place at the Bills tailgate with yours truly. I will drink alcohol and have fun and hug and high five and talk trash, but I will not be jumping off anything. That flight after tailgating and all that stuff the next day is always rough. Look at Dr. Steve Rule. He says, John, if I buy a ticket to this tailgate, can I power bomb you through a table? The answer, no. But hey, I'm sure there will be somebody there that would happily oblige. There will be no. I ain't doing that table stuff, man. I ain't doing it. But I appreciate it. I'm sure it would get the views. That's a long flight to Buffalo back. I got layovers. I got to fly Southwest. I'm balling on a budget. No way, man. So let's talk injuries. The 49ers, Charvarius Ward's out. Hasn't returned yet from what's going on. And he deserves all the time that he needs. Hope he comes back soon. He said sooner rather than later. Really hope he returns soon. We need Charvarius Ward back. Kevin Givens is out with the groin. He's been out for a while. No need to rush him back because not only is Evan Anderson balling out, Kalia Davis was a force. And then you traded for Khalil Davis. Didn't play well in his first game since traded for, but you gave up a seventh 2 years from now. But you have depth there. You're not concerned. Mitch Wisnowski, he's going to be out. He's been awful. It sucks. You never want anybody to get injured. Mitch Wisnowski was ranked 31st in punting. He's not good. He hasn't been good. He's been really bad all year long. But the biggest issue with Mitch Wisnowski isn't punting, it's holding. Field goals, Mitch Wisnowski is the best holder in the NFL. I 100% believe that. That dude is so consistently awesome and has been his entire career holding. That is where we are. Now, all right, let's look at it. Field goals can't get worse. What are we going to do, miss four field goals in one game? Yeah, that ain't going to happen. Somebody's like, oh, John, you what's it called? You cursed us. Nah, I don't believe in curses. I wish I was that powerful. Doubtful, Darrell Luter Jr., whoop-de-doo. He's not even our fifth corner, and he sucks on special teams. He doesn't play smart at all. He might be smart, and I was really, really happy about him and his development, but dude just plays with the lowest football IQ consistently on special teams, training camp. He just ain't learning. I don't know what else to say. I hope it turns around because we got him for a few more years. The talent, the body, all that's there, but he's always injured, and his football IQ is just next to nothing. He's got to learn at some point how to play football, what not to do. He just hasn't learned it. So not a big loss there. Questionable. Kittle, he's playing. Bosa, he's optimistic is what Lynch and Kyle said. He's playing. I'm telling you, he's playing. But you're getting Etier Gross-Matos back, which helps. Trent Williams' ankle, he's probably the biggest question mark. He has practice. But Shanahan said, we can take that all the way up to kickoff. If he feels ready, he could go. Trent Williams, I expect to play. I really, really do. It's a home game. Etier Gross-Matos, he's got to be playing. That's huge. John Feliciano, I think that, man, I would like to activate him, but I think that depends on if Aaron Banks is going to play. He's questionable with a thigh. Banks is tough as hell. The problem is Aaron Banks plays through injuries all the time. He's never good when he does it. He's tough as hell, and you love the consistency, and you're like, man, 6'5", you are a warrior, but, man, he is bad whenever he does so. So I would love to have John Feliciano backing up or rotating or there just in case. Make that switch, man. Ben Bartsch, whatever. There's guys you could let go to activate Feliciano or one of those tight ends. You got four of them. There's room. I would sleep so much better at night if I just knew John Feliciano was suited up. I really would. One, he's better than our center, and I think that he would be better than an injured Aaron Banks. That's me. Now, not just us with the injuries. There's a lot of injuries for Seattle. Noah Fant, their stud tight end, and he is a stud. He's out. Their backup tight, their number three tight end, Brady Russell, he's out. So they've got two tight ends out. A.J. Barner will be their starting tight end, fourth-round rookie from Michigan. He's been pretty good as their tight end, too. Like, he's pretty solid at everything. I wish we had him, to be honest with you. He's better than our tight end, too. But now he's starting. So that hurts because they use their tight end consistently. Connor Williams, their starting center, retired. You don't see that. You just don't see that. So now their starting center is a second-year fifth-round player from Michigan. Man, it's just whose Michigan players will suck the most? That's basically what this game's going to come down to. So Oligun Oluwatimu, I think I said his name correctly. I was pretty high on him in the draft. I really liked him. He just hasn't played. He played four snaps this year. Four. Last year played 120 plus, but 53.1 grade, 50.1 grade in the run, 75.5 pass grade. He was always going to be a good pass blocker. Run is an issue, which is weird coming out of the Michigan system, but that's what it is. We have Drake Nugent, who was his replacement at Michigan. So now he gets to start and go against Malik Collins and all of our defensive tackles. We'll see. He didn't even get the whole week to practice because Connor Williams, the guy that retired, waited until Thursday to retire. Weird. It's just weird. Yeah. Oh, look at this. Nick, miss you guys too. Hoping to fly over the pond for some games next September. Ooh, let me know, man. Let me know. I love it. I love it. Bobo, I'm not going to do the table thing too because I'm scared myself. Yeah, it's what it is. Right here, Invader. Wisnowski's back has been an issue since training camp. It has. Remember, we had that other punter, Garvin, that was awesome. But basically, if you read through the lines, Garvin's not a good holder. The guy they brought up is. That's why they did what they did. Right here, Bobo, what happened? Because Mitch was excellent last year. Yeah, he was close to a top five punter for the first time in his career. And the back acts up. I don't know. I hate that. I just absolutely hate that. Tommy says, Kittle practice. That's what's up. Aldo, John, is our special teams coach still with us? Yes, he is. I have no clue how. Makes no sense. No sense whatsoever. So, yeah. Out of county jail. He should have been arrested. He wasn't arrested. He's probably a great guy. And I hate talking negatively about people because they're families, whatever else. Probably a great guy. He's a terrible coach. He's the worst coach. And he's literally the worst coach. I'm sure he's a great human being. Should not coach in the NFL at any level. Shouldn't coach in college either. I'm just going to be honest. You let mistakes happen over and over again and you never correct them. You're not a good coach. Now, the history of this matchup, Seahawks are still up big, 30-23. Remember they went on that crazy run with Russell Wilson when we were cycling coaches year in, year out? Well, we've won six in a row, so we've made a lot of headway, but man, we still got a ways to go. Now, we played them October 10th this year, week six. That was the Thursday night football game. We were up there for Seattle. That was fun. We won 36-24. Not a lot of defense. Special teams was a disaster. They had a kickoff return for a touchdown. Again, our special teams coach sucks. He's awful. Brock Purdy was great. Three touchdowns, 255 yards. Geno threw two picks. Shocker. Mason, 9 carries, 73 yards. Garrido, 10 carries, 99 yards. Purdy rushed for another 19. Patrick Taylor Jr. rushed for 16. Debo rushed for 15. We ran the ball like crazy. They had like 20 rush attempts. They couldn't run the ball at all. Whatever we wanted to do, we did. George Kittle had two touchdowns. Oh, man, it was awesome. Sam Oh had a sack. Renardo Green had an interception. Malik Mustafa had an interception. Like, that's just what it was. We handled business the way it's supposed to be. Geno plays on the other side. You should feel very confident. Now, if you want to go watch that game, literally every single snap, broken down, I could show you why the plays worked and didn't. That's on the 49ersrush.com. Here's where you got to go.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launched, the 49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going. But the 49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers, and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, IU, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the 49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
All right. Let's talk Seattle Seahawks defense. All right, let's break it down. This is why they hired MacDonald. It has not gone well. So these are the rankings out of 32 teams in the NFL, right? Seattle's defense, 23rd in points scored out of 32. Not good. 25th in yards. Bottom 10. They give up yards like crazy. 18th in turnovers, so about average. 22nd in first downs, below average. 20th in pass touchdowns, below average. 15th in interceptions. All right. That's right at average, which is good for them. Like when you can say average, that is great for the Seattle's defense. That's just what it is. Rush yards, 23rd allowed. Terrible. Rush touchdowns, 16 average. Yards per rush, 26th. They're giving up 4.8 yards per game per play. Now, usually when teams play the 49ers, and one of the biggest issues I have when watching tape against opposing teams is I'm like, man, they're not going to play the 49ers like that. They're going to load up. They're going to do a five-man defensive line front with eight in the box consistently. Look at Tampa Bay. Look at the Rams. Look at every team we play. Every team we play does it. Seattle didn't. They tried to stay true to their scheme. Now, it's a 3-4 odd man front, so sometimes it looks like a five-man front, but they're not bringing an extra player into the box. Man, we douse these dudes. I'm very curious, coming off a bye week, what adjustments they're going to make. And the 49ers have to plan this out as well. Now, their system, you prep for all this stuff, and the good news is, playing against the Bucs last week, if they did make adjustments to stop the run, it would be what the Bucs did in the second half against the 49ers offense last week. Well, you saw that. They were able to shut down the 49ers run. Well, Brock Purdy just freaking lit them up through the air. We've got our wide receiver weapons, so if that's their adjustment, hey, all right, let's get it done. You know what that game would look like. It'd be pass heavy. I am betting against that. 15th on third downs average, 14th on third downs average, 14th against the red zone average. Now, they've got some studs. Boye Mafe versus McKivitz, don't like that. Their defensive tackles against Jake Brendel. Leonard Williams had a really good game against us. He always does. But Byron Murphy, we didn't play against him in week 6. That's a first-round pick. He's a stud. Rams tried to trade up for him. Couldn't do it. Julian Love, their safety. He's a top 10 safety in my book. That dude can play. Weaknesses, run defense is terrible. Tariq Woolen, soft. They've got a lot of soft players. Now, Devin Witherspoon, that boy can get after it. He's tough as hell. He's kind of the odd one out. They've got some tough D linemen. Linebacker's not super tough. They're really, really not. And look, like we talked about, we talked about how they cut Dotson and then traded Baker. Well, now you've got this guy. And again, number 48. When you are watching the 49ers offense, like, don't put a circle on the TV. You can't do that. But try to pay attention to number 48, Tyrese Knight, linebacker for the Seattle Seahawks. That's who Shanahan's going to attack. I can tell you right now, that's who they're going to go after. So number 48 hasn't played a lot. He's a rookie from UTEP, fourth-round pick. Excuse me, goodness. He's played 100 snaps this year, but he only played 4 snaps since week 7. Now this dude's starting against a coach. Man, my voice is like messing up. I'm so sorry. But he's got a 48.2 coverage grade against a coach that takes advantage of linebackers better than anybody else in the NFL. Number 48 is going to dictate, good or bad, how this game goes. Well, congratulations, Tyrese. Nice. You get a start in the NFL. Bad news, CMC, Kittle, Debo. How in the world Are you going to handle that? What is that going to look like? That's crazy. That's just crazy talk. Now, I'm going to get a swig of water. We're going to finish this show. I'm so excited. We still got a lot more stuff. But before we do, real quick word from our sponsor.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to MyBookie.ag. Use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino, if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
All right, now, the Seattle defense, like, what do they do? They're a giant cover one, cover three team. We are too. They do it from an odd front. They're multiple, but they use their safeties much more energetically as like a nickel than we do. We use our safeties a little bit more like a linebacker. We use our nickel more as a linebacker too. So they're similar, but they're not the same. The coverage, like back end, sometimes looks simple. Their blitzes, 100% different. Now, they don't blitz a lot, but they're probably one of the most effective blitz teams in the NFL. The last game against Buffalo, they blitzed 10 times. Atlanta, 8. Last time they played us, they blitzed the 49ers 6 times. Brock Purdy versus the blitz, he's freaking unreal. Like, he makes people pay. So I don't expect them to, like, light it up, but they do a lot of kind of zone fire, which I wish we would do. Well, they'll drop a Boye Mafe into the hook to curl zone and blitz their safety. They blitz their safeties way more than we do. So that's kind of what they do. That's their defense. Now, let's look at the other side. The Seattle offense is good, but it's just pass-heavy, one-sided. It really, really is. So again, remember, out of 32 teams, right, 15th in points scored, 9th in yards. They're top 10, but 27th in turnovers. That's a bottom five unit. They turn the ball over like crazy. Geno Smith leads the NFL in interceptions, and he's had a bye week already. 18th in fumbles lost, 25th in interceptions, 6th in first downs. They convert a lot. So I'm just warning you, there's going to be some third and longs. You can sack Geno. He's still going to get a lot of those first downs to Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett scares me more than anybody on their team, to be honest with you. He always has his best games against us. First in the NFL in pass yards. They air it out. That's what they do. 16th in passing touchdowns, 13th in pass yards per attempt. 29th in rush attempts. They just don't run it often. 27th in rush yards. 6th in rush touchdowns, though. When they get inside the 5, they pound it. They got those two big backs. They'll use them, but not until they get close to score a touchdown. 22nd rush yards per attempt. That's not good. 24th third downs. Not good. 23rd third downs. Not good. 22nd red zone. Not good. They've got to get inside the 5. Once they do that, they run the ball. They play bully football. They kind of like us, where they move the ball really, really well, even though they throw it a lot. But once they get close, kind of stalls out consistently. Not a lot of touchdowns, a lot of field goals. But they've got players. DK Metcalf's a stud, just not against us. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, he's a stud against us. Him versus Demo is going to be fun. Charles Cross, their left tackle, stud. Like, he's really, really good. He's nowhere near as good as Wirfs that we played last week, but he's still good. Right side of their line's terrible. Geno's been sacked 28 times. Tendencies, 11 personnel all the time, 78%. That's super high. 12 personnel, which I doubt they do because they're number one and number three tight ends. They're not even playing. So they're going to be stuck in 11 personnel. This is what it's going to be. 50% of their play calls are play action, 10% screens. Both those are a little high. They don't go as deep as Geno likes to. Only 8%, but whenever they do, it's effective. That's why I want the Niners to be in cover three, quarters, cover six, pretty consistently. Sprinkle in a little cover two. Like, try to stay out of cover one, please. Yeah, we're not going to do that. We love cover one. I don't know why we love it so much, but we do. My favorite matchups. Let's do this for each side. When the 49ers are on defense, my favorite matchup for the 49ers is Malik Collins versus their center and right guard. Yeah, I talked about how they're bringing in a new center, Oligun out of Michigan, and their right guard, Bradford. Love that matchup. Evan Anderson, love that matchup. Kalia Davis, love that matchup. Jordan Davis, he plays on the other side, hasn't been good this year. Khalil Davis, his first game with us was bad. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Now, the thing I'm probably most excited about is when we go NASCAR, early in the year when we went, like, we have three defensive ends, we kicked Etir Gross Matos to the defensive tackle. Well, lately we've been doing that with Sam O. I hope we keep that with Sam O. Sam O is way better than Etir Gross Matos at everything. At everything. I think Etir is a really good depth piece coming off the injury. I like it. We overpaid for him. Sam O's better. So I really hope we keep using Sam O out there. I don't know. We'll see. I'm curious to see how they're going to handle that. Who the NASCAR, the defensive tackle, the end that bumps down. I'm really curious to see who that's going to be. Their best matchup is Jaxon Smith-Njigba versus Jair Brown or Campbell. How do I say this? We're bad. We're bad in zone when they go trips or trips bunch, which we're going to see, to be able to let them dictate our safety against their quality tight end or a linebacker against their stud wide receiver. So I'm hoping we have like an alert, which this is usually the call, like, hey, I understand based off of alignment principles, Jair Brown, you should take the number three guy or the number two guy. No, Diamador Lenore will take Jaxon Smith-Njigba every damn time. That is important. Now, the best blue collar, like blue chip on blue chip, it's Diamador Lenore versus any wide receiver. Lockett has the most success against us every time. You could talk about DK Metcalf. He's a stud, not against us. But whenever he plays Demo, that's going to be fun. And then Jaxon Smith-Njigba, that's going to be fun as well. Now, 49ers on offense, flip it. Christian McCaffrey versus that linebacker, Tyrese Knight, getting his first start. That's hilarious. Them, Leonard Williams or Byron Murphy against Jake Brendel. Jake Brendel was so bad in the Bucs game. Oh, he was so bad in the Bucs game. Blue chip, Juwan Jennings against Devin Witherspoon. That's physical on physical, best on best. Our number one wide receiver against their best corner. That's everything. Gosh, man. The game is fun. And it's so cool whenever you look at these X's and O's and you're just like, oof, oof. Like, that's just good football. Like, I want to see that. We'll see how the coaches manipulate and take advantage with motions and matchups and all that stuff to isolate some of these matchups. We'll see. And I'll say this. Whenever we have played dominant defensive tackles, like, we didn't hear Vita Vea's name a lot. Well, a lot of that is because we were doing a lot of outside stuff, bootlegs, rollouts, outside zones, tosses, whatever else. It's a little bit harder to do that against the Seattle team. It really, really is. Because they don't have one dominant defensive tackle. They have three. So I'm curious to see what that's going to look like. Agency, I appreciate you. Man, we've struggled versus trips all year. We do not know how to line up against it. And man, we don't. Like, I don't. How do you not know how to line up against trips? That's where you have three wide receivers. Trey is where you have two wide receivers and a tight end, but the bunch, we don't know how to line up against it. We have no clue. All year. All freaking year. Ugh. Ugh. All right. I haven't loaded my bets of the week. I'm going to get that done as soon as I finish this show. So that's going to be up within the next 30 minutes. I got a lot of bets. This is probably the most bet-heavy week that I have the whole season. I've got a lot this week. I've got a couple teasers, two-game teasers, which I really, really like. The 49ers one I'm taking is a two-team plus seven teaser. I'm taking 49ers, so you get 7 points. So the 49ers are actually plus a half a point against Seattle. And I'm taking the Lions over the Jags, who are the biggest favorites this week, minus 6.5. So if the Lions win by a touchdown and the 49ers just win, period, bet 10 to win 7, right? Now, probably my favorite bet this week is Geno over 35.5 pass attempts. That's almost even money. So you bet 5, you win 5. Last time he threw it 52 times. That's huge. And then again, the over-under on Pearsall catches is 2.5 right now. I'm taking the over on that. You want to see the rest of the bets, follow along with us, the49ersrush.com, and our Patreon page. Make sure you bet mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers for your deposit bonus. Rollovers always apply. If you don't understand that, you can ask them. The customer service off the charts. We've used them for, I think, 5 or 6 years, so we're not going anywhere with that. Now, let's talk about my predictions that I actually think are going to happen, and I want you guys to throw this in the chat as well. Not necessarily the score, but it can be the score. Like, what do you think is going to happen? Like, oh, George Kittle's going to score a touchdown. CMC's going to rush for 120 yards. Fred Warner gets a pick six, something like that. So if there's something that you think is going to happen in this game, throw that into the chat if you're watching live. And if you're not watching live and you're listening, you just say it out loud. If there's people in the car, they'll understand. They'll understand. Let's start with the 49ers defense. Just be you. You don't have to dial up these crazy exotic whatever. And you confused Baker a couple times last week, which was really, really cool. And I was very impressed by Nick Sorensen because I was like, oh, I ain't seen that before. I like that coming out of the bye week. That was cool. But this is like one of the paint-by-numbers defensive game where your scheme, your basics, your cover three, your quarters, it is designed to stop quarterbacks like Geno Smith with these wide receivers. You ain't got to get cute. Just be you. You don't have to worry about anything that they do. You know what they do. You play them twice a year. Just tackle, play with effort. This is a fundamentals week. This is a we are better than them. Don't give it to them. Don't let them sneak away busted plays. Don't let them do that. You just be you. Devondre Campbell has played lights out in back-to-back weeks. His three best games have been the last three games. If he continues to play that way, whew, that's huge. The screen game is my biggest concern when the Niners are on defense. We've struggled with that consistently. That's part of this scheme. But, man, we played really well against the screen against Tampa Bay. And they're a better screen team than the Seattle Seahawks are. So, hopefully this is trending in the positive way as well. Just force Geno to beat you, right? That's basically what I'm trying to say. Make Geno beat your team. Don't let the run game beat you. Make Geno beat you consistently down the field. He can't do it. I want quarters, cover three, cover six. Stay in those. Stay in those. You're going to be just fine. Just run your program. Make them adapt to try to find your vulnerabilities and then adapt if they can. I don't think Geno can. I really don't. Now, on offense, again, like I said earlier, I'm very curious to see if Seattle's going to adjust to stop the run because they couldn't do it. We ran 33 times for 255 yards against them in one game in week six. Like, we didn't even have Christian McCaffrey. We didn't even have him. So if they don't adjust, we should have 30-plus rush attempts again. If they do adjust, we should have probably 25, and we should air it out. We should air it out. I expect a lot more 11 personnel as we move forward because, again, it seems like the 49ers want to keep Juwan Jennings, Debo, and Pearsall out there as much as possible. And so that's fun. I'm excited about that. That's three playmakers. Juwan Jennings is the wide receiver one. He's freaking love that dude. Focus going to be on CMC, Kittle, Debo. Do what you got to do. Pearsall's going to get some chances. I got him with 4 catches, 58 yards. And Jennings versus Tyreek Woolen. Oh, my gosh. I swear, guys, Juwan Jennings is licking his chops this week. Like, they benched Tyreek Woolen last year because of Juwan Jennings. They just couldn't tackle him. Like, Juwan Jennings is out there just smiling. Oh, boy. That's right, man. Just knocking on that door, right? Little pig, let me in. Like, it is bully time. I cannot wait to see 15 just dismantle that man. I got Jennings, 6 catches, 72 yards, first down monster. Oh, gosh, I can't wait. So, all right, let's see here. I want to see what you guys got going here, what you guys keep saying. Oh, here we go. Vince, right here. One of our safeties gets an INT and defense forces a fumble. I love it. Phil, Warner gets a pick 6. I would love that, man. Oh, that would I freaking love it. Vader says Green to have a big game. We need him to. He's now the cornerback one with Ward out. Let's see what he can do. Slick, Kittle, 2 tutties. Man, that would be awesome. Slick Rick, 1. Green, 1 pick. Demo, 1 pick. So you got us getting 21 points guaranteed with those 3 touchdowns, 2 turnovers. That would be a blowout. Vader says, I like us by 2 scores. Now, let me say this. I did not bet us to cover the spread. My prediction has us winning by 10. Spoiler alert. I'm not good at this. I got the 49ers winning 28-18. The reason why I'm not betting the spread is because special teams is just a disaster waiting to happen. Nick Sorensen's getting better, but gosh, man, with his love of cover one against these wide receivers, that's terrible because they throw it outside the numbers. They don't throw it in the middle of the field. So his love of cover one scares the crap out of me. A couple things could go wrong. They really, really could. Does Jake Moody suck still? I mean, we should have won by double digits last week, but special teams alone took all those points off. We missed 3 field goals. So I'm not betting the spread, but the 49ers should win by a lot. I've got us winning 28-18. They should. Ooh, I like this, Vince. Collins and Samo get a sack. Invader says Collins Anderson should have an advantage. I agree. Oh, look at this, Vince. Grindo scores his first. He's already scored a touchdown. It would be another touchdown. And Ricky scores another one. I freaking love that. Yeah, Grindo got one. He got one. Lenore gets a pick 6. Ooh, Demo and Warner with picks. Yeah, the picks. I'm betting on, and again, I didn't talk about this one yet, but like Geno's throwing an interception. That's just what it is. Ooh, I like this one. JJ will get Tyreek Woolen to commit a personal foul. He might be too soft for that. I don't know if he's that tough. Debser, glad to see you in here. JJ is a stud, 100%. Oh, I can't wait. Bobo says 34, 49ers, Seahawks 26. Whew. Man, I'm pumped, dude. 49ers handled this game. Now you're 6-4. Now you're 6-4. Now we're in striking distance, baby. Like, this is where things go right. Like, the 49ers before last week have never won 2 games in a row this season. Well, now you won 2 in a row. You know what happens after you win 2 in a row? You win 3 in a row. That's called a winning streak, right? Anybody, major leaguers out there? Anybody? This is where you turn it on. This is the Shanahan staple. We're in November. November, December football is 49ers football. That's what it is. I freaking can't wait. You guys are awesome. I'll be going live as soon as the game ends from Levi's right here on this channel or wherever it is you listen. We'll see how that goes. But I want to say thank y'all. Thank you to Josh. Y'all are the best there is. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
The changing of seasons can affect how you feel. 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. Visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.